Well, back when we were talking about the Lord's Prayer, I indicated that we were going to talk about forgiveness sometime, and this is the day. We wanted to speak of it not only because it's an everyday activity we should be a part of, but it is the essence of what we are going to celebrate in a few days when we come to Easter. So, something to look forward to, but it's something to embrace and live with each day. Scriptures to look at. We have a passage in Matthew and a passage in Luke. If you would turn to the Luke one first, we're in Luke 23. A tremendous act of forgiveness for us all. When they came to the place called the Skull, where they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The other portion comes from Matthew 18. Fairly lengthy passage, but we need it all. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and he began the settlement with a man who owed him 10,000 talents. And that man was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Well, we go from yippee, Christ forgave us, even when we don't know what we're doing. Yeah, people conjecture and, you know, talk, and I'm certainly open to debate on that too, who exactly Jesus was talking of, but many theologians will come back and say it's for everybody. It wasn't for the guys dividing up just his clothing. It wasn't just for the thief on the right and the left. It wasn't for just the people that crucified him. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And then we have this portion of Scripture, which hits us a little harder because it's not so much our relationship here, it's our relationship here. When people do things to us, against us, if you want to say, when there are those infractions that take place between people. Well, some interesting things in here. One of the things spoken is that the master says in the Matthew 18 passage, he says, "Have mercy." And mercy is a tremendous thing. If you and I should happen, I know this is completely, you know, hypothetical, but if we should happen to go beyond the speed limit, I know some of you are having trouble relating to this, but if you should happen to go beyond the speed limit and should be caught doing that by an authority wearing a badge, you would be brought before a judge. Now, many times we throw ourselves upon the mercy of the court, as did the servant to the master there. And mercy was given. If the judge, looking upon you in your present state, said, "I have mercy," nothing will take place. You're forgiven. We just think, "Oh, well, that's pretty nice." We need to keep in mind that when Christ died for us, it was beyond mercy. It was grace. Mercy was involved because he said, "I forgive you." Grace is what happened to a greater degree. Now, in the case of our court thing, with our going over the speed limit, the judge can give mercy, but grace happens when somebody else pays the debt. When we are before God, he will give mercy because grace has taken place. Someone is willing to pay the debt. And a lot of times, mercy is okay. We can just say, "Oh, let it go." But grace, where you allow something else to pay the debt, that's a little more difficult. The Matthew 18 portion. Yes, this does, like I say, lead us up to Easter. Not trying to sneak it in. It's for our relationships. It's not for any particular relationship that I know when I'm trying to single you out. But it is to say, too, with issues that have happened, you know, and that would be a specific one that I could say, you know, if some people are having difficulty forgiving, you know, Nathan and Chandra, if people are having, you know, with other situations, you forgive. Why? Hearken, my friends. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive each other from your heart. But, and again, I'm just going to all the issues that might be out there in our body today. But you don't know. You don't know what they did to me. You have no idea. No, but I don't see that listed here. It says to forgive. And it said in the Luke passage, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." But you don't know what they did. Maybe they didn't know. In the Luke passage, again, we can sort of look at it. What does that kind of mean? They didn't know. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You mean they didn't know when they hammered the nails in? What am I doing? When they stabbed him? What was that I did? They knew their actions, but they didn't know the impact of those actions. That is what I'm always getting out of this. A lot of times people do things, and I don't know if this will mean anything to all of you, but maybe to one or two of you. In playing basketball, there are three times that if you call the hoop about here, and I was a defender, and the ball was going over me, to one of the opposition back over here. And so I was like this, and I just turned like this because I thought, well, maybe I'll get a charge. You know, maybe this is before that MBA thing, whatever they got now. So I just turned, and I thought it'd be like this. And so I spun and did that. And we came into collision in this non-contact sport. And we both fell. And each time, I said, well, sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, have that much. And he said, no, no, you knew what you did. Well, I just turned. I was just standing there. No, 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 you knew what you did. And that's the same for three times. And each time, I don't know, other than turning like this, what I did. But the impact was something. There was an impact in that person, in what they were feeling or understanding. So even though I didn't know what I was doing, there was some sort of impact that took place. But we are to forgive in all cases. How many times? Yeah, you've probably heard it before. Peter and his usual character and temperament. How many times are we to forgive? Seven times? How about that? Seven times? No. 77 times, or some say 70 times seven. Okay, that means I've only got 76 more to go, 75. It's a matter of our heart, what we are willing to forgive. Yeah, I'm sure you can, and I have related to times where somebody's sort of said they were sorry, forgive me, and they did the same thing. Do they really know what they're doing? Do they understand the impact? Father, forgive them, for they really don't know what they're doing. When you can't do it in your own strength, rely upon the Father. The story I'm going to share from, and perhaps again some of you are quite familiar with Corrie ten Boom and this particular account of forgiveness. But it speaks volumes to me, and I hope it does to you as well. It was in a church, Corrie speaking, it was in a church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to the defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I'd like to think that that's where forgiven sins are thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. Well, the solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence, and in silence collected their wraps, in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Now, he was in front of me, a hand thrust out. You see, Corrie and her sister had been arrested for concealing Jews in their home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. And this man, approaching her, had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where she was sent. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocket rather than take the hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him, the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he said. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. He held out his hand. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven. He had sinned against us. I could not forgive him. Betsy, my sister, had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but it seemed like hours. Hours that I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If we do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was a simple, horrible fact. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling, Lord. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, racing down my arm, sprang into the joined hands, and then his healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands. The former guard, the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. So often we say, but you don't know what they did to me. How much worse does it have to get? Because Christ died. And he didn't know what they did to him. They didn't know. But he knew what he had to do. Interesting statement in here that she was helping other victims and saying that those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. Yow. Which, you know, the internet's a wonderful thing. It can be a very bad thing, but it was a wonderful thing because I can just type in forgiveness and see what's kind of out there. And I got back some interesting information, and you're certainly going to be able to access it as well. Some of the topics here: what is forgiveness? What are the benefits of forgiving someone? Why is it so easy to hold a grudge? What are the effects of holding a grudge? How do I reach a state of forgiveness? What happens if I can't forgive someone? Does forgiveness guarantee reconciliation? What if I have to interact with a person who hurt me, but I don't want to? What if the person I'm forgiving doesn't change? What if I'm the one who needs forgiveness? Not from any church source. This Mayo Clinic. The world understands what happens to us if we don't forgive. It's a spiritual thing, which will manifest itself in a physical thing, an emotional crippler, unless we forgive. How do we forgive when someone hasn't asked for it? You just do it. You start the process. You mechanically, woodenly take that hand out of your pocket and you extend it out to God and say, please help me to forgive them. You do that. It is more difficult for us. If we look at Christ's example, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while the other people are unrepentant, we forgive. Hard, so hard to do. So, am I a champion of this forgiveness? I'm a fellow traveler like you are, but I just know I need to be reminded again and again that also that other person is a fellow traveler loved by God, and we need to find some way to be in touch. Is that simply by forgiving one another? Words not in the Bible. But again, things to think about. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven. For everyone has a need to be forgiven. Nice words again. But let's look at some scripture to finish up with. Ephesians 4:32. If you want to come along, but otherwise I'll just be passing these over and giving them to you. Ephesians 4:32. Simple words. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kind of while we're back in that area, 1 John 1:9. First John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's go to Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. A couple more here. Luke 17:4. So if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And the last we'll look at is Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, Arlen, you're kind of going back and forth between what we're supposed to do and what Christ did. Yeah. Because that's the example. That's the way to do it. And I don't know, you know, what that felt like. But Christ standing on the cross, being on the cross and looking at the multitudes and saying, I'm here for you. This is grace. I'm standing in your place. I forgive. Go do the same. So, may it be for me, and may it be for all of you, that we find a way to build bridges. Seek forgiveness, give forgiveness, instead of breaking them down.